This is Jean Samuels and Virginia Vatz interviewing Bella Heppenheimer for the Oral History Project, sponsored by the National Council of Jewish Women in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, taking place on January 25, 1991. Mrs. Heppenheimer, will you please give us your full name and address for our record, and then we'll be ready to start our interview.
Bella Heppenheimer, 401 Shady Avenue, apartment 806A, Pittsburgh 15206.
Thank you.
Mrs. Heppenheimer, let's begin by your telling us a bit about your early background, your early childhood, where you were born, your family, and so on.
I was born August 6, 1912, in Hopstetten. In 1914, my father went to war. His name was Albert Levy. My mother's name was Selma Levy. Her maiden name was Weil. My dad, I never knew my dad, because he was a prisoner of war and returned in 1920. I had one sister, she was born 1921, that died when she was 6 years old. My mother had four sisters. Three were exterminated by the Nazis, and one sister still lives in New York City. I arrived in this country January 20th, 1938. Mm-hmm. Now you would like to know what school I went to. I went for 4 years to public school and for 4 years to gymnasium.
Keep talking.
After that, I went to learn dressmaking for 3.5 years. 5 days I sewed as a dressmaker, worked as a dressmaker, and one day I went to trade school. Then I got a diploma, but for the second diploma, the Nazis wouldn't give it to the Jews anymore.
Tell us a little bit about your neighborhood. Who lived in your neighborhood? Were there Jews and Gentiles, and how you interacted with them?
We had Jew and Gentile neighbors. And I went to learn the trade with one Gentile girl, and she was friendly all through the Nazis. But with the others, we were very reluctant. But they also later on became hostile. They also were afraid to come and talk to the Jews, because they were afraid that their neighbors were big shot Nazis.
This must have been a very frightening experience from the beginning, and a very strange for a young person.
Sure, and you couldn't work. I couldn't work for them. I did before, but then when times got worse, bad, they wouldn't let you in their house because they were afraid. The Nazis didn't like it that they took somebody Jewish.
And then at this point, your mother decided that it was time for you and her to move to the States.
Yeah. I came by myself in 1938. A relative of ours in Chicago made an affidavit for me. And I arrived in New York on the 20th of January, 1938, with a cousin who was not quite 17 years old. She
You were how old?
I was 25.
25. Thank you.
She stayed in New York, and I went on to Chicago. I could not speak one word of English, but I had a telegram at the boat that the relatives in Chicago had a job for me. So I went to Chicago, arrived there on a Sunday, looked for the job on a Monday, and started working on a Wednesday.
Well, you were well trained.
In the Marks, the place was called Marks Mason Orphanage.
Is that in what part of Chicago?
West Side of Chicago. And I did repair work for the children. They had a sewing room and for boys and girls, and they had three women, like two other women and I, who did this repair work. But I was as homesick as I could be. This I can tell you. I couldn't.
Why didn't your mother come with you?
Couldn't. Didn't have an affidavit. My mother and father lived.
Oh, I see. And your father was living at that point too, surely.
And, but I was engaged. And my husband came in the last week of April 1938 to New York.
We were engaged in Germany.
Is that right?
Yeah. Where did you meet him in Germany?
He lived in Mannheim. And that was, the Depression was just over here in 1938, and he got a job in Pittsburgh. And then in July, I came
to... He had relatives in Pittsburgh?
No, we didn't have a soul here. But he found a job in Pittsburgh through the newspaper.
Oh.
His father had a scrap iron business in Germany. So he found a job here with the scrap dealer.
What did they have in Germany?
Scrap iron business.
Scrap iron.
They were scrap dealers.
Oh.
Scrap iron. What is his name, Mrs. Heppenheimer?
Manfred Heppenheimer.
Manfred.
Yeah.
M-A-N-F-R-E-D.
Yeah.
Thank you. And what... So you came from Chicago to Pittsburgh. How long did you stay in Chicago?
From January until July. Then I came to Pittsburgh, and Rabbi Rothschild married us.
Is that right?
And his mother asked me, "What are you doing?" And I told her, "I do dressmaking." She said, "What would you like to do here?" I said, "That's what I would like to do." So she said, "I sent you a few customers.
Oh,
if you want to do this."
I knew her very well.
Yeah, she was a lovely lady.
Uh-huh.
So she sent me a few customers.
Is that right?
So, you know, she worked for Boyd's.
Yes,
she was
I know.
A buyer in Boyd's.
Rabbi Rothschild was a friend of ours, personal friend of ours.
So that's how I got started.
I see.
That was the...
You were married in the States?
In Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Rabbi Rothschild married us.
I'm sure you were. He married you in Pittsburgh.
And then by the end of October, we got our furniture from Germany. And then I started sewing. And by May, I got so busy that I needed help.
How many helpers?
I had two, three helpers at the beginning. That's how busy I was. And at the end, I had four girls and a stock girl when I lived on Shady Avenue.
Is that right?
But in between, my parents came in 1941 on the last boat. It came from October 1st, 1941.
And they settled in Pittsburgh?
They lived with us.
They lived
all
with
their,
you.
All their American life.
Yeah.
And we only got them over here because I was friendly with Zena Saul. She was the head of the Federation.
I remember Zena.
Remember Zena?
Because I did, you know, work social work, yeah. I remember her.
And New Year's Day, 1941, I went to her house and she said to me, if you have any money, send 2 tickets to your parents and you might be able as parents to get them out. But you also have to make an affidavit from children. So we sent 2 tickets to them, but we needed a letter of recommendation. And I went to Pittsburgh National Bank, where we had a few dollars saved, and talked to the president of Pittsburgh National Bank. That's what we needed. And he wrote us a letter like we owned Pittsburgh National Bank.
Oh, my. Right.
And with this letter, we sent this with the affidavit. We got our parents out on the last day when the American consulate was open.
Oh.
And on the last boat that came from Germany, October 1, 1941, Europe was already burning. It took them 5 weeks to come.
Oh, what a relief that must have been for you.
They were supposed to come in July, but we had bought tickets on an American boat line, and the Germans wouldn't give them the passage. So we had to buy another set of tickets with a German boat, and that's when they let them through.
Tell me something. Did you, you and your husband and parents relate mostly to people who also came from Germany, or did you make an attempt to?
Well, I tell you, the first 10 years, my husband's parents also came, who were quite old, and we had to support them. My father-in-law was an old 70-year-old man who did not know one word.
They also lived in Pittsburgh?
They also lived in Pittsburgh. We had a little apartment for them. So between my husband and his sister, they took care of him. So we really didn't have too much time for anything but work.
I see.
You tried so hard to get established and get on your feet, because
right.
Both sets of parents came with nothing. And we were lucky we got our furniture out, money they didn't let us take.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've never been in such a position and you feel you don't want to take anything from anybody. So we worked many hours, not like the average person.
I believe it. That was a full-time responsibility and load.
Sure, and we bought a house, and little by little we got established. And I mean, I had contact with all kinds of people through the business who I talked to.
I see. Did you make some interesting contacts with the customers as well as business associates?
Yeah. I mean, I had people like the Mellons and the Fishers.
Really?
And all kind of people like this, very interesting people who were always very nice.
Well, it's an interesting kind of occupation where you do meet different kinds of people.
You did. And then when the war broke out and the stores didn't have enough help, they sent us all kinds of customers.
Oh, I see. You mean the specialty shops.
We lived right around the corner from Forbes Street on Shady Avenue.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So we met all kinds of people.
Were you able to take part or interested in taking part in any of the religious activities in the area, or how did you feel about that?
No, we, as the people who came from Germany, like we had a club, and they also had their own services for the high holidays.
I see.
Because some of them really couldn't afford the membership what the synagogues charged, and others were much older people than we are. A lot of them had parents like we did too.
I see.
So they would never have been called to the Torah at any synagogue if you don't give them, you know yourself, you'd have to. So we had our own services for about, I would say, 20 years.
And these were all people who had immigrated from Germany?
Older people like our age, and we had a service. We started out with quite a few people, but I think it closed maybe 15, 20 years ago. I mean, today...
You still see those people?
There are not many left.
Is that right?
In the meantime, we are all old. I live here 53 years. In America.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a long time.
It's a long time, but it's not considered particularly old these days.
No, I don't feel that old, but quite a few of our generation.
Oh, yes. They move away.
Our parents, my parents died. My father was 94 and my mother was 97.
Is that right?
No.
Isn't that remarkable?
And I never realized that people could be senile, because until they closed their eyes, they were like the three of us.
I see. Huh. That's remarkable. Is your husband still living?
Yeah, he's here. I'm going to introduce him to him. He's here.
Yeah. And when did he retire?
Oh, yes, he's going to be 85. He was, about, I would say, 15 years, 20 years ago.
And he stayed doing the same sort of thing?
No. He took up, in later years, bookkeeping.
I see.
And he became a bookkeeper. It was too hard work. I mean, they didn't have too much. I'll be very frank with you. The refugees, when we came, they were not treated like the immigration now.
I wish you would elaborate a little bit on that. Tell us a little, how were they treated?
Can we wait a minute?
Yes.
Continue, ladies.
I'd like to hear a little bit more about how, about the your perception of how you were treated and your feelings about it.
I tell you. I hated that word refugee. After all, your parents came two generations ago, we came now. That word refugee always had something terrible. And if somebody came to me and said, "Are you a refugee?" I was fit to be tied. Or when we first moved here and we had our furniture put out and we have a few nice things, people would come and they would look in the china closet, and I have a Meissen figurine. They would say, "How much you want for this?"
Oh my.
And this is how some people were.
So you sort of felt like somebody who was more or less intruding.
Yeah, some people, you know, because you wear a greenhorn, you would shorten the dress. And a half a year later, they would call and they say, "You know, you didn't make the dress short enough." they try, some of them try to take advantage, where others were very nice. I never took anything from anybody. I never wanted a handout. We were fortunate that when we came, we could right away make a living. But some people couldn't.
Yeah. How about the language factor? How did you learn to speak? You speak very well now. How long did it take you to learn?
It didn't take me that long, because in the orphanage there was one person who spoke German. So when I had contact with the children, they would say to me, they would teach me. They would show me something, they say, "This is a fork. Say fork, or say knife, or say this." So that's how I learned. I had to learn, and I was young enough to do that.
How about your parents?
My parents?
Did they learn?
My mother was with me in the sewing room. She did handwork, and I had at the beginning I had Viennese women and German women sewing, whose husbands were dentists, and they then had to go to school. So through the Federation, those women, Miss Saul wanted me to take those women to help to make some extra money.
I see.
But later on, I had American girls.
Mm.
So my parents had to speak English. Both parents, my father read only English books. Both parents spoke German and spoke English and got along.
How about your in-laws? Did they speak?
No.
They never learned
No. It was very hard. For them it was even harder because my father went to work. The war broke out and he got a job.
Yeah, I see.
So they never felt that we took care of them. They lived with us. My house was their house.
They continued their independence.
But my in-laws, we had to take care of. And it was very hard, especially on my husband's mother, who was a woman who always gave to anybody who opened her front door. And we don't know, but she, how many people she gave money to, so they could, young people, so they could leave Germany.
Well, the loss of independence.
And that was very difficult. It was really very hard on her.
I can imagine.
We tried to make it as easy as possible, she became ill, and we had a woman who took care of them, and then my father-in-law turned blind, and this woman was a Jewish lady. She, after mother passed away, she took my father-in-law with her to her apartment, and we furnished a room for him there, and she took care of him. This woman came from Shanghai, so she didn't have, her immigration was through Shanghai. So she didn't have to go out of the house and still had an income.
Mm-hmm.
He was happy there, and she was...
Well, sounds like a very satisfactory
It was a very
arrangement.
Good arrangement.
Yeah.
For both of them.
Well, it sounds to me like you handled things beautifully.
We tried to...
Particularly
make
under
it
the difficult
as easy as possible. In the meantime, we became more Americanized, and we did like the rest of them. But it was 20 hard years.
Do you still lapse into German when you and your husband having conversation?
We don't speak German.
You don't?
Not with each other, no.
Uh-huh.
We don't.
Is there a special reason?
First thing, we don't like the Germans, as
okay.
You can imagine. And we are so used to, in my house, all English was the language that had to be spoken because, as I said, I had help in the house immediately because I was busy from the day I came to Pittsburgh, maybe a month later when I started.
Well, you were very skilled were able to.
I was also, I couldn't do the housework myself. When you said you came on Murdoch Street, there I had a black lady working for me for 20 years from Murdoch Street all the way through because I needed it. You couldn't do sewing, and we sewed many hours.
Do you have hobbies other than your, I can't call dressmaking a hobby, although sewing
business,
is a hobby. Do you have hobbies other than that?
Yeah.
You play cards and...
I play bridge.
You play bridge?
I knit, as you can see.
Yeah.
I do one day a week. Since I retired, I go for one day a week to Meals on Wheels.
Oh.
To do what? Oh,
Meals on Wheels.
Since for the last 13 years, I do that.
I see.
So, and I'm active in Hadassah.
Mm-hmm. Well, very good. Do you still see any of the people that belong to the club that you belong to?
Yeah, whoever is left over, and we are friendly.
You still get together?
We get, we don't get as much. We see each other. Quite a few of our close friends are ill, but we still keep contact.
I see. Yeah. This is very interesting. Do you have any religious affiliation this point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for years. After the friendship group was closed, we belonged to Beth Shalom.
I see, and you attend regularly?
We go there. We go there. And we participate, whatever, go to the Vi concert, whatever.
So you're very active in your social, cultural activities.
Yeah, we try to keep ourselves as busy as we can, you know, and belong to the museum and do all those things what everybody else does. But as I said, the first 20 years you couldn't. Mm-hmm. Because you wanted really to be back on your feet and we're happy that you had a chance to make a living. We're happy that we were here. And it wasn't easy, but we succeeded. And
do you see any changes in Pittsburgh over in their attitude toward people immigrating who have immigrated here? Now
I can see what is being done for the Russians. Never was that. There were a few of the refugees, the German refugees, who needed help and who got help, but there was never things done like they are done now.
So in complete. You're satisfied,
I'm glad that they do it, and that we also can participate and help whatever.
Yeah, well, they learned a great deal over the
years. Yeah, they do lots of different things, and I'm glad they have a Holocaust Center here, and do things so it won't be forgotten.
Do you do any traveling?
Not anymore, we did.
Ever get back to Chicago?
I know. I haven't been back to Chicago for many years.
But we
have gone. My husband doesn't like it, but we have gone back to Germany and we have gone to the...
What was your reaction when you got back to Germany?
The first time we went back was in 1960. And my grandmother had passed away just before my parents left in 1941. So I was very anxious to go, but I could never find a grave. I don't know what they did. They didn't put a stone on or anything. I went back where we came from.
Oh, you cemetery. Mean the cemetery was used is still
it's
intact?
It still exists. But they never put a marker or anything on, so we couldn't find. I mean, the old graves, my grandfather, my sister, and people like this, who were buried even during Hitler, before 1938, that was there, but the rest wasn't there. The synagogue is an apartment house. I didn't talk to anybody. I couldn't. I just hated him too much. But when we were back 4 years ago.
Pardon me, you mean people connected with, did you see anybody connected with the synagogue? Is there anybody?
There's nobody there.
Nobody there.
There's no Jews there, but we went to see the building.
I see.
We knew where the synagogue was. They made an apartment house out of it. There's not a Jew living in this small community. But people go there like we do when we come to Europe. That time we didn't stay in Germany, but we went 4 years ago, and we went back to the cemetery, and they had in the meantime put up a memorial for the ones who were lost.
Who did?
The German government put up a memorial, a plaque. But it was so insignificant, I couldn't believe they would do this little nothing thing. And the ones who came from our hometown and live in Europe. Our former neighbor was a doctor. He lives in London, in England. He insisted that they do this. Otherwise, they probably would not have done this either.
Do you have any contact with him?
Yeah, that's the one who sent me that picture. I have contact with some of them who are still around, who came from.
You mean the non-Jews?
The Jews. This were all. This
oh,
is all
I
Jews.
See.
I don't talk to the non. I
you
talk
have
to
no
this,
contact.
I talk to this one lady who learned the trade with me. As it happened when we were standing in front of this memorial, a Gentile man took us around who was really a friend of the Jews and saved quite a few lives. I said to him, how is Agnes? That was the lady's name who I learned the trade with. He said, look down here, she's just coming up. Well, I hadn't seen her in 30 years. We didn't recognize each other, but I was glad to see her, and she was glad to see me.
Oh my!
In front
goodness.
Of this memorial.
Isn't that
this plaque?
A very interesting situation. So your